Thank you very much, Dr. Micklin. Our next speaker is Dr. Jean Noronha, who is the Deputy Director of the Division of Extramural Activities here at NIMH. And I don't know if you're going to talk about review also, but you're going to be talking about the new electronic submission.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm here to talk about a new process that NIH is engaging in, and that is of electronic submission. And the goal for actually this very brief session is really just to give you an overall understanding of the electronic submission process and the timeline, and talk to you a little bit about a new application form called the SF-424 Research and Related Application Forms. This will be replacing the PHS-398 for those of you who filled out the application in the past. And we hope you can take back some of this information to your home institutions if your home institution hasn't already been telling you about some of the things that they have to do. In the scope of actually converting to electronic submission, the NIH intends to have all applications be required to be submitted electronically by October 1 of 2007. This includes all the mechanisms that NIH supports. The submission will be through a web portal called grants.gov, and at the same time we're transitioning to this new family of forms, this SF-424 family of forms. And you'll find, though, if you go in and start playing around with these forms, that there are many PHS-398 looking components in it, and that's because these forms didn't really accommodate a lot of our needs for our research applications. So we stole back some of the elements of the 398 into the new SF-424 research forms. The NIH announced its process in August of 2005 in this notice. You may ask, why go to electronic submission and why transition to this new form? Well, going to electronic submission was following public law. We need to do it. Transitioning to this 424 form really has to do with sort of a standardization of all submissions to the government. And if you're using a standard form at NIH, you'll be familiar with the form for any other branch of the government as well. So hopefully this reduces the administrative burden. This is really a pretty monumental transition, not only requiring this electronic submission process, but using a new form that, with our multitude of funding mechanisms and tens of thousands of applications and the communications that are involved between NIH staff and the organizations and the PIs. So the two main systems that we work with are grants.gov and the ERA Commons. And grants.gov, again, is this federal government single online portal to find and apply for research funding. It's used by 26 federal grant-making agencies. The NIH ERA Commons site is the NIH's electronic research administration system, again, allowing for this electronic submission process. And it's used by NIH as well as other HHS components. What are the registration requirements? Well, both grants.gov and the NIH ERA Commons require a registration before you can submit electronically. And these are separate processes, but they can be done simultaneously. The registrations must be completed prior to submitting an application electronically. And if you don't have these registrations completed, it can delay the review assignment and funding consideration on the application. And the government recommends that you allow 2 to 4 weeks to get these registrations complete. So what is the registration at grants.gov? Actually, the registration is really required of the applicant organization. You as an individual PI do not need to do any registration, but your institution does. And there are detailed instructions at, actually this website is incorrect, it should have a www before the grants. There are several requirements for getting this registration, for your applicant organization to get their registration. One is the DUNS number. Many of your organizations probably already have that DUNS number, but it is required. You also need to have registry at the Central Contractor Registry, CCR, and in particular for new organizations, this can be, you need to allow a little extra time for that process. So again, this 2 to 4 weeks is sort of a minimum that the NIH is asking you to give for getting these registrations complete. However, even if your institution doesn't have registration complete on grants.gov, you can go ahead and look in the announcements and look in the funding, download the application forms and begin working on your grant application, even if the registrations are not complete. And I'll talk about that a little more in detail. For the ERA Commons, your institution needs to have registration on the ERA Commons. And then you as an individual need to work with your grants office to get your individual account on the Commons. So first your institution needs to have their registration, and then you as an individual PI need to get your registration through your grants office. Your account on the NIH ERA Commons must be affiliated with your organization. And if you are serving as a reviewer, Mike mentioned internet-assisted review, the NIH gives you a Commons account to be able to access the ERA Commons, but that registration does not allow you to get into your own grant submissions. So what you need to do is work with your grants office, give them your account name that you've gotten through the NIH, and have them affiliate it with your institution, and then you should be able to see all the information on your grants in the ERA Commons. The PI and the signing official on any grant application need to have separate accounts on the ERA Commons. This is not so relevant for you, but we had a bit of a problem with some of our small business grants in which sometimes the PI and the signing official are the same person and they didn't realize they needed two different accounts. In terms of, again, registration requirements for the ERA Commons, I mentioned the DUNS number. Another problem we tended to have in the first couple submission dates was that the DUNS number that was in the institutional profile didn't match what was on the application form. So just make sure you're in sync, that your signing official and you are putting the correct DUNS number down so that everything matches up okay. If you have made a good faith effort to get registration in the Commons and on grants.gov at least 2 weeks prior to a submission date, and there are delays that are not caused by yourself, the NIH will allow you to come in late with some corrected applications to make, or will allow you to come in a little bit late to allow for that registration to occur. So as long as you can document that you've made the effort to get registration 2 weeks in advance of a receipt date, your application should get successfully assigned. And again, you can go onto this website to see more information on this. I'm only going to talk about this direct submission part over here. As an organization, you can submit through what's called a PeerEdge viewer, and there are software requirements for this new electronic form. This PeerEdge viewer can be downloaded for free from the grants.gov site. As well, you need PDF generation software. You'll find in the new SF-424 form that everything gets attached as a PDF. So you need to have the software that allows you to create PDF documents. Say you've created your research plan, and now you convert it to a PDF for submission onto the application form. If you're a Mac user, right now there is not a platform-independent viewer. This actually got some publicity in the Post a couple weeks ago. The NIH is committed to getting a platform-independent viewer by November of 2006, but in the meantime, it is providing a Citrix client application, which Mac users can go through and get the forms from the PeerEdge viewer through that route. Actually, I'm going to skip this slide. Let's go to how do you get to the forms. And you're aware of our program announcements, our RFAs. They're now sort of being referred to collectively as funding opportunity announcements, or FOAs. This is new terminology that you'll probably want to become familiar with. In each funding opportunity announcement, there will be a button. If that particular mechanism that's being solicited in the FOA is an electronic, is for electronic submission, there will be a button called Apply for Grant Electronically. And when you click on that button in your announcement, it'll take you to the grants.gov site and allow you to either download the instructions for your form or the forms themselves. Again, you have to have that PeerEdge viewer software in place. The announcements will continue to be published in the NIH Guide to Grants and Contracts. You can also get to the announcements through the grants.gov site. If you are familiar with looking at the NIH guide and know how to call up announcements, take a look at them and say, oh yeah, that's the small grant announcement that I want to apply for, then you just go right to this apply for grant electronically and you start working on your application. This is a very different model from how we've done things in the past. The forms, if you want to see what they look like, you can check out the NIH Forms and Applications site. I would just say that, I'm going to skip through these next several slides quickly. These are forms that you can, if you're curious about what they actually look like, you can see them. You should not be applying for any application through this form site. You really need to go through a funding opportunity announcement in the future. And for those of you who may be thinking about, well, I just am submitting an investigator-initiated application, it's not really in response to any announcement, the NIH is going to provide what we call omnibus announcements or parent announcements. There are a variety of terms. But say you're submitting an R01 in an area which the Institute doesn't really have a specific announcement soliciting that particular area, then you'd use the omnibus program announcement. Click on that Submit for Grant Electronically button, and it'll take you to the correct forms to fill out. Each announcement is going to be affiliated with a specific set of forms for that announcement, so you need to use that announcement to get to your forms. So how does it work? So as I said, you'll find your program announcement or your RFA or whatever through the NIH guide or through grants.gov, and from there you'll download your application package and then start to begin to complete the application. And you should make sure you save a copy locally on your own computer. And then when you're ready to send it in, it's actually your authorized organizational representative, your AOR, who submits the application to grants.gov. And again, this requires that all your registrations are in place. Grants.gov is going to perform some basic validations and virus checks to make sure everything is okay. It'll track the status of your submitted application, and you should be getting an email that NIH has received it. The ERA software at NIH then performs its own business rules on that particular kind of application, make sure all the rules have been followed. And again, you should be getting an email to check your application in the ERA Commons. What NIH is recommending that you don't wait for the emails. Just go ahead, keep on going into the ERA Commons to see what status after you've submitted, to see what the status of your electronic application is. If you find out that there have been errors, there are errors noted in the ERA Commons, that means you need to correct the errors and resubmit the application. Actually, you're submitting a corrected application in the terminology of electronic submission. There are also warnings, but warnings will not prevent an application from going through to NIH and getting assigned. If you have an error, that has to be addressed. And I'll talk to you a little bit about some of the common errors that we had the first two cycles so you can avoid those errors for yourself. Anyway, you correct the errors, and then again, or if you've had no errors, you and your signing official need to verify that the application looks all right and you're ready to have it get referred and assigned. And that should be done within 2 days of it appearing in the Commons. In the future, I think they're going to try to turn off that verification step, but for now, for the initial stages, we want everybody looking at their application, checking it out, and making sure they are satisfied with it. Let's see. So what are some of the turnaround times for this? As I said, registration can take a while, so one should start that in advance of a submission date. Once you've submitted to grants.gov, it might be up to 2 business days before you get an email saying take a look. And for the ERA Commons, again, up to 2 business days. This has to do with sort of a volume issue, and we've gone through, I guess, actually today is a receipt date for the ERA applications, which are required to come in electronically, so we'll see how today goes. But for the December 1 SBIR Commons, we had some very heavy workload and we had a lot of corrected applications coming in because of some problems. And so the time that went by before you got an email sometimes was much longer. But this is what they're predicting now will be the usual timeline, about 2 business days for each of these steps. And We recommend that. We recommend that until you become familiar with the forms and get a good sense of what's going on, just so that you have time to submit a corrected application. For the first several receipt dates, we're trying to be really accommodating because it is a new process for all of us, but the intention is that a corrected application should be verified, should be submitted by 8 p.m. of the date of the receipt date. And then again, this last step of verification, a lot of folks in the first two cycles saw that things went through, saw that there were no errors, and then left it. Unfortunately, you need to also look at the application and then go through a verification process within 2 days, and that completes your submission process. Now, what is the strategy for transition? And NIH, as I think Anita mentioned, is going mechanism by mechanism. And once a mechanism has converted to electronic submission, they must be submitted electronically. So all small business converted as of December 1, so any subsequent deadline, all applications must be received electronically. The same is true of our conference grant applications, which converted on December 15th, and now the area applications. The next big deadline, or the next big conversion time, is June 1st of 2006, in which all our small grant R03s, our R21s, and our R34s will be required to be submitted electronically. Those mechanisms that have not yet transitioned will require the usual PHS 398 submission. And again, things are being announced in the NIH guide as we move along, so just keep your eyes on the NIH guide if you need to find out more information. There are two dates that are going to be listed in these announcements, in these funding opportunity announcements, PAs, RFAs. One is the release date. That's the date it actually gets published in the guide or grants.gov. And the second date is an opening date, and that is the first date by which an application can actually be submitted. So you can start working on an application early on, and then about 2 months before submission date, the FOA is supposed to be posted. And then when the opening date occurs, that means you can actually submit electronically. And I think they usually open up about 30 days before receipt date. So for June 1st, if you're working on a June 1st submission, you could probably submit electronically by May 1st. Something to keep in mind. This is the timeline. And there's been one major change over the last month or so, or maybe less. And that is, originally we were scheduled to convert the R01s as of October 1 of this year. But I think we're going to give a little more time to see how the R03s and R21s and R34s go before we delve into the R01s. So they are actually going to be required to be submitted electronically by February 1 of 2007. As a result, subsequent mechanisms have also shifted to later. The Ks will be required to come in electronically on June 1st of 2007, fellowships on August 5th, 2007, institutional training type grants, September of 2007, and then our multi-project applications, our P applications, which include centers and program projects and things like that, as well as some other complex mechanisms, won't convert until October 1 of 2007. I mentioned we've already completed these two transitions. So the advice is to follow all the application instructions. And I say that, but I do know that there are a lot of, if you actually print out all the instructions, it's quite a hefty document. It's not an actually easy thing to go through. So I think one of the better things to do is check out the website frequently. And there, on the electronic receipt website, there is a submenu called Tips and Tools. And I highly recommend you take a look at that, because they're updating that pretty much on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis. The entire website is really managed with looking at what's happening and trying to inform the public of what's going on, the scientific public. And so if you, just before you submit, I would suggest going over there, taking a look at the common problems. One of the early problems we had was that there was a field in one of the parts of the form called the senior key person field. It's the senior key person profile component. And there was a line there that said credential. No one knew what credential meant. And that's where the PI is supposed to put their ERA Commons account number. But no one knew this. And the reason we couldn't put it down as a required field is it's not required for all federal agencies. So as a result, there are a couple fields like that. I think this one was the one that really was the most problematic. And so the tips and tools side of the electronic receipt page really has a lot of good information. We've also had a problem with formatting of PDFs and what the file names are. So it's really important to just take a quick look and see what others have encountered. And our advice is to register now, to be prepared. Again, allow time for corrections. And make sure you see it to the verification process, the very end. That means you really are done. And when you are seeking support from one of the help desks, if you have to, and there are three different help desks that can help you with this. Grants.gov has a help desk for their registration. The NIH ERA Commons has a help desk for their registration. And then if you have a problem with the application forms itself, the NIH has another site, which I'm blocking on, but I'll get to it in a moment. And you can ask about the forms there. And you should make sure you have your identifying information that you've gotten from the web on your application so you can give it to the help desk when you're requesting some assistance. So we're trying to continually learn from these processes and help to make it easier for each next submission date and each set of PIs who are going to be affected. And we just recommend that you look on our websites fairly frequently. This is the electronic submission website, and it's, as I said, it's updated very frequently. There are a lot of tools on that website that will allow you to experience some of these things firsthand. There are a set of FAQs and the timeline, the tips and tools that I mentioned. And then, these are the places you can go to help for when you really do have a problem with your particular electronic submission. Yes, it's the NIH grants information that give you information on the forms. So that's it. Be happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, Jean. We can take questions for you first.
Correct.
And if I could add, in addition to CDs, when they go into the internet assisted review, all the materials are available.
And finally, in the past we used to be able to discuss with the SRA the submission of supplementary material, new data that may have become available since the original submission. Will that be handled electronically as well?
Oh, that'll be handled the old way. You'll contact the SRA and you can submit whatever additional materials are needed, but it will not be through electronic means.
It may be through electronic means, but it won't be through grants.gov.
Right, right. Sorry.
So you need to talk to the SRA about preference there.
I just had a quick question. I know this doesn't apply to most people in this room, but intramural employees cannot get ERA Commons accounts.
Right. They're working on that, is my understanding. And I don't know when they're going to resolve it, but it's an issue that was raised particularly because of the new K99 RRO award. And and actually even for the old K22 award, if you're familiar with that, you need to be able to get your results in your summary statement. So if you don't have an account, it's hard to get that. So program officers will provide you with the information for now, but they are aware of the problem and they are working on it.
The timeline that you showed, the said, for instance, R01's February 2007, does that mean you can't submit electronically until then, and then they're...
That's correct, right, because the forms are being... Actually, there are a number of working groups that are working to make sure all the forms are appropriate for each mechanism. So until that date occurs, you cannot submit electronically before that. I would say with February 1, you know, the announcements will probably be activated about 2 months before that, and then you could possibly submit for, you know, on January, early January for the February 1, but you can't submit before that for another earlier receipt date.
So that if you submit earlier than that, then you would move over to the forms for your resubmission if you had to resubmit?
Right. If you submit it under the 398 and then you have to do an amendment, it's going to have to be on the new 424 forms. But as I said, there are many, if you look at the 424 forms, there are many components, the major components, the research plan, if you will, you know, sections A through D, those haven't changed, and you'll just be attaching them as PDFs. So even if you're working in a Word environment for your 398, you just now work in a Word environment for the PDFs that get attached in 424. So.
Any more questions? All right. Well, thank you very much.